Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and this is a very important podcast because we are in market mania pandemonium mode. And when there is mania, there are scams that come out where they're trying to take advantage of people because everybody wants to get rich quick nowadays. And so this podcast is a reminder to myself and to all of you that we can and we will lose money if we invest in risk assets. If you invest for a long enough period of time, I promise you, you will lose some money. That's just the way it is. There is no reward if there is no risk. I've personally reached a level of investing discomfort that feels a little bit unsettling. After deploying a large amount of money in 2017, after I sold my rental house, I invested a large chunk of change in the stock market in the first 1 or 2 weeks of January 2018. After all, I wrote a 2018 outlook that was pretty much bullish on stocks, pretty sanguine on the bond market. I don't think rates are going to go up that much in 2018. And real estate, it's probably going to do pretty okay, except for perhaps the expensive coastal city markets. So now I feel that I'm suffering from maximum fear of missing out, FOMO. And I feel that many of you are also experiencing this unhealthy feeling. And when you experience FOMO, you tend to do some incredibly irrational, or let's just say boneheaded, stupid things. And this is the biggest problem I have with money. It makes us greedy. So hopefully this podcast will help those of you who feel the same way I do pause and think a little bit more about risk assets. So let me just tell you a story. So now that I'm in retirement mode, I've been consuming more and producing less, right? I only publish a couple times a week now instead of three times or four times. And so one of the things I've been observing with great fascination are all these get-rich-quick schemes that have popped up thanks to the rise of cryptocurrencies. So there's this one guy on Twitter who boasted making minimum wage just a year ago and is now a cryptocurrency millionaire. He shares how much he has in his electronic wallet on social media to create this FOMO to his followers, and he succeeds in getting people to bite. And so he started aggressively promoting this thing called BitConnect in the second half of 2017. It's a Bitcoin-based lending platform where they take your cash or Bitcoin, so something that's actually valuable right now, and give you a guaranteed interest of between 0.25% and 1% a day with BitConnect currency. They say they have a, quote, proprietary Bitcoin trading bot that produces such returns. I mean, are you kidding me? So in other words, if you invested $1,000, after 3 years of 1% daily compounding interest, you will have something like $50+ million. I mean, how can you lose? That's unbelievably amazing. So to no one's surprise, many people fell for this Ponzi-like scam and dumped a lot of their money into BitConnect. So if you look at the post, you can see the chart from BitConnect highlighting the promised returns and capital back timetable. And let me just tell you, so if you lend $1,000, you can get up to 40% per month, and you'll get your capital back after 299 days. And if you lend up to $100,000, you'll also get 40% per month, plus a bonus 0.25% daily, and you'll get your money back after 120 days. So if you can get those returns, you are just laughing. But the thing is that they might not give you your money back. So when the BitConnect platform realized they were running out of money to pay their new users, they decided to shut down their exchange, leaving all those who had given them cash or Bitcoin stranded. So the BitConnect currency proceeded to plummet 90% overnight. 90%. And its fate remains to be seen. And where did all that cash and Bitcoin go? Who knows? I mean, I've got to imagine there's like tons of lawsuits, but it was trading at like $330, and then boom, it went down to like $5-6. So I was thinking to myself, nobody could be this gullible to fall for such a scheme. And so I was reading some of the feedback about people who supposedly lost money. So one guy goes, "So I'm so scared right now. My wife just found out how much I lost on BitConnect. She was so happy when she came in, and I told her how much I had lost, and then she left. She's gone. I lost over $40,000, which is a lot to us. A hell of a lot. I don't know what to do. My knees are weak. My palms are sweaty. There's vomit on my sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. I'm nervous, but on the surface, I look calm and ready to buy Bitcoin. So I thought, okay, that's a joke, right? Because that's from Eminem's hit song. And then so I was like, okay, what else is out there? And there was this another guy who said, please help. I've invested over $500,000 into BitConnect and currencies on the exchange with the help of a business loan. I plan to withdraw within a month or two. Now I can't even access the fund to sell, and the market has crashed. This is the worst day, and I feel like making $5 million by gambling on the crypto market with another loan before it's too late and the prices go up again. I cannot deal. Please help and give advice. I mean, that is maximum FOMO. Are you kidding me? You're going to get another loan to try to gamble some more? So I was still unconvinced, and then I finally stumbled across this video. And you've got to click on the post to watch the YouTube video of a guy who lost $30,000 in BitConnect. And this is when I realized, okay, maybe people really have lost money in this schemey kind of, I don't know what it is. And you know what? I think as a personal finance blogger, I think I need to do something to make sure more people don't lose a ton of money on investing scams. So let me share some exercises I go through before making any investment. And hopefully these exercises will help keep you grounded as you seek to build your fortune. So number one, calculate how many hours, days, weeks, or months you need to work to make up for a loss. So let's say you make $10,000 investment in anything that has risk. You earn $20 an hour. If you lose all your money, you will have to work at least 500 hours to get all your money back. And since you have to pay taxes, you probably have to work more like 600 or 650 hours. And given you're only making $20 an hour, which is like $6 higher than the minimum wage here in San Francisco at least, the job is probably not something you love to do. So knowing the pain of recovery period will help keep your FOMO in check and help you make more risk-appropriate investment decisions. It is very key that you calculate this pain of recovery period. Two, look for keywords such as can't lose, guarantee, and get rich quick in the marketing material. If you find any of these keywords, please run the other way. There is no guarantee to any investment except for an FDIC insured savings or CD account up to $250,000 per person, or holding a US Treasury bond until maturity. That's as close to risk-free as possible. And even then, the US economy might blow up. We are going through a government shutdown, number 10,128 after all. So it baffles my mind that people would believe that BitConnect has a sophisticated trading bot that nobody's ever seen that can earn 1% a day forever. That's just hog shit bullshit. So number three, ask yourself whether you truly understand the business model. I mean, BitConnect, I kind of understand it, but it just seems too good to be true. If you cannot easily explain the business model with a straight face to a loved one, you do not understand what you are investing in. And if you don't understand what you are investing in, you should not invest in the product. For example, I had one guy ask me why he hadn't received any returns in 3 months after making a $25,000 equity investment in a 3-year real estate crowdfunding deal. So I asked him, is this equity or debt? And he said, oh, I don't know. And then he said, oh, it's actually equity. So he confused an equity investment with a debt investment and obviously hadn't understood the literature about the deal discussing their strategy of revamping the project and selling in 3 years to try to get that target IRR. Equity, look, it's different from debt. Please understand this. Understand what the business model is before investing. Four, calculate your net worth composition to understand risk. You must understand your net worth composition in order to understand how much risk exposure you have or are comfortably able to take. So losing $30,000 in BitConnect like this guy in the video in the post is survivable if you're worth at least $300,000 and have a steady job making at least $60,000. I think you're going to survive. You'll be all right. But it doesn't sound like the guy in the video has much more than $30,000 to his name since he said he lost his life savings. So there's a reason why professional money managers diversify client holdings. There's a reason why people construct these diversified portfolios. It's all about risk management. And doing this exercise will help you clearly understand where your money is being exposed. Five, limit all alternative investments to no more than 10% of your net worth. So I'm going to define alternative investments as any investment other than publicly traded stocks, bonds, CDs, physical real estate and savings. And we all know that stocks and bonds do go down, as we saw in the financial crisis. So know this, investing in stocks, bonds, and physical real estate is good enough to build enough wealth for financial independence. You do not have to invest in anything else. Nothing. You don't need to invest in angel investing, private equity, venture debt, real estate crowdfunding, P2P lending, fine art, collectibles, and cryptocurrency. Alternative investments do have the ability to generate higher returns than non-alternative investments, but they're often illiquid, more difficult to understand, carry higher fees, and may carry much higher risk. So you're not the $25 billion-plus Yale endowment with around 50% of their fund in alternative investments, because you don't have the same amount of access, power, and a team of investment professionals tracking the fund full time. It's like when I talked about angel investing, how I'm not going to really angel invest anymore unless there's something amazing and the price point is lower than $25,000 per investment, because I don't have this inside edge. I don't have the connections like all these guys who spend all their time in angel investing have. So please limit your alternative investments to 10%. You can go up to 20% like some wealth managers recommend, but only if you understand the products very well. So six, for goodness sake, please don't take out a loan to invest in risk assets, especially alternative investments. The people who get into real trouble during a correction are those who not only invest too much of their net worth in the investment, but also take out a loan. Yes, margin investing in the stock market is at all-time highs, which is scary because the stock market is also at all-time highs. And yes, taking out a mortgage you can't really afford when real estate prices are also at all-time highs is a terrible idea, as we saw during the financial crisis. So if you lose 100% of 10% of your net worth, you'll be pissed off, but you'll be fine. If you lose 100% of 100% of your net worth, you'll be devastated, depressed, lonely, but you'll probably survive if you have a job. You're just going to have to start all over from zero, and you've got to realize, hey, you're just going to have to work for the rest of your life. But if you lose 100% of 200% of your net worth due to leverage, you're going to be ruined and likely stay poor forever. So please do not take out a loan to invest in things you don't really understand. Seven, please understand the background and history of the person trying to sell you something. Everybody's trying to sell you something. At least you can do is understand where they're coming from. If the person is a broke fella who was packing boxes for minimum wage a year ago and is now telling you how to get rich, be wary. If the person is a high school student teaching you about the fundamentals of investing, be wary. If the person writes a book called I Will Teach You to Be Rich as a poor college graduate, be wary. There's a reason why institutions wait until a fund has at least a 3-year investment track record before investing any money. They want to see some longevity, some proof that the first year was not a fluke, that you can repeat your investment performance over and over again. There's a reason why funds that have a 10-year or longer track record tend to have the most assets under management. We're talking about the Fidelities, the Capitals, the Vanguards, and so forth. These are the behemoths because they've been around longer. The longer someone is around who has been able to replicate their performance, who's been able to honestly say why they failed, the more confidence you can have in them. But someone who just suddenly got rich after 6 months or 1 year, come on, give me a break. Please be wary, folks. Number eight, get feedback from at least three people, before making an investment. So it's easy for us to get deliriously excited about an investment that could make us rich. We start fantasizing about what we could buy with our profits, where we could travel, and how we can quit our jobs and spit in our micromanager's face. Yes, money makes us go crazy. Therefore, you must share your investment thesis with at least three people. Hopefully, these people actually care about you, you know, like a parent or a sibling or a best friend, or hopefully the smartest person you know. I have an advantage because I often am pretty transparent and share my investment thesis on my site. And since there are thousands and thousands of people who read the site, they can tell me how stupid I am all the time. And I really take that feedback to heart. And if everybody believes, oh yes, that's a no-brainer, that is a red flag. I need to see the other side, because there is always risk and there is never a guaranteed return. So if everybody's saying this is a no-brainer, you should be very, very wary. Listen to all your critics. If you have truly listened and still believe in your investment thesis, then go ahead and take a risk with no more than 10% of your net worth. Look, folks, I hate scams and get-rich-quick schemes. I hate them so much because I have loved ones who have been scammed, and I have loved ones now who could easily be scammed because they're so impressionable. I myself, I remember during the times when I was a car nut, I would always look to buy cars on Craigslist, and there was this one time when this guy was advertising this too good to be true price on this car that I wanted. So we had emails and conversations back and forth, and he was like, hey, just put a $3,500 deposit in this escrow account and here's the website, blah, blah, blah. And then immediately red flags went off. But I was close. I was close to doing it because I was like, wow, the car is so cheap. It's like $15,000 below Kelley Blue Book value. What a deal. So really, folks, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. One of the reasons why I'm so much happier just being a personal finance blogger than working in investment banking is because I'm not calling or emailing anybody for anything. If people want to read my site, if people want to listen to this podcast, they're free to do so for free. I'm not pushing anything on anybody. You're not going to get your face ripped off by learning from my experience and my perspective on money. But please invest responsibly. Don't ever give your money to someone you don't know or invest in something you don't thoroughly understand. Be wary of folks who are saying you just can't lose. Please try and tame your desire for getting rich quickly. It's a lot of luck getting rich quickly. Turn off the TV, unfollow the people who keep on bragging how much they make. It's annoying. That's what I've done. I've shut that stuff off. It's just too much. It's too much. It creates too much FOMO. If you can avoid stepping on financial landmines, you will be able to reach financial independence more easily. So as for me, I'm back to building up a large cash hoard for the rest of the year because I pushed myself too much. I'll still invest in risk assets when I see opportunities, you know, maybe a 5% correction or 10% correction in the stock market, something like that. It's just that the amount I'll be investing will be much, much lower. The BitConnect implosion and the people who are saying they lost a lot of money really reminded me about risk. And I hope that this podcast really reminds you about risk as well. If you think about it, every investment except for hard assets like real estate, you know, or your 1952 Mickey Mantle rookie card are just digital numbers on the screen. It might show a big fortune one day and it might go poof like Kaiser Soze the next day. So please be aware. And finally, I leave you with this final investing thought. You can never lose if you lock in a gain. Never. Yes, you might sell something too soon and kick yourself for not holding on for more profits, but selling early is way better than selling too late. When people tried to sell anything in 2008, 2009, 2010, there was no bid. Like, the floor gave out. Everybody was rushing for the exits because nobody wanted to buy. So please, be responsible, and I wish you guys the best of investing luck. Thank you.